Today's special episode is brought to you by Starting Points, Operationally Curious Questions. Begin pre-event learning with our best-selling Operationally Curious Conversation Starters. Download the app at startingpoints.app or the App Store, and purchase card decks at www.startingpointcards.com.
On today's episode of the Hop Nerd Podcast, I want to talk about humor and safety, humor and change, humor and doing what we need to do in making things a bit better. Yeah, humor. That's what we're going to be talking about. Let's jump into it. Welcome to another episode of the Hop Nerd Podcast. I am your host, Sam Goodman, the Hop Nerd LLC. Make sure you head over to the website, www.thehopnerd.com, for fundamentals, learning teams, support, and so much more. Send us an email, thehopnerd@gmail.com, and be sure to follow along with us on all things social media at thehopnerd or at Sam Goodman. Welcome to today's episode. Howdy, hi everybody. How you feeling today? I'm feeling pretty stinking good, if I do say so myself. It's been wild and crazy, as it is always wild and crazy, but I am here and I am with you. And yeah, first off, wild and crazy is good. At least for me, I like wild and crazy. Don't get me wrong. I like a good chill day. I like a good vacay. I like a good do nothing but fart around kind of day. And I will do those with the best of them. But I like busy. And man, oh man, have I been busy. It has been wild with travel and helping folks and doing stuff and workshops and making videos. And yeah, it's been real good. But I got you. You got me. We got each other. I got cold brew. Here we go. And we live in such a marvelous time that we have pretty stinking great non-tobacco nicotine products, which help me get through the busy time. I don't know about you. Hey, don't get on to me. I used to be a Skoal Wintergreen Fine Cut guy for years and years and years and years. I can blame it on my industry. I can blame it on all those different things, but I just loved it. And I still love it. And yeah, I found healthier alternatives. And when I mix that with a little bit of cold brew, and we get our time together, life's good, y'all. Life's good. I hope everything's going great for you in your neck of the woods. It felt fitting for today, I think, to start off today's episode with something that sounds like this. I've shared this story a bunch, so if you've been in any of these sessions, I apologize, because I was sharing this during some sessions for a while, because I always felt it appropriate to start off with a dad joke. Yeah. So all of you all pretty much know Avery, unless you're new here. Avery is my daughter. And, you know, she's at that age where she's like the sweetest kid ever. And then she has those moments where she's not. She's like a teenager. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. And as you know, what I do for work, I end up traveling quite a bit. And I'm always excited when I come home to see her. And I remember I come home, and a lot of times I'm coming home in the afternoon. She's getting home from school. I'm walking through the door. I'm pumped. I'm jazzed up. I open the door. She's sitting at the counter having like one of those after school snacks. And I'm just like, ooh, I can't wait. I can't wait to see Avery. And open the door. And I'm like, hey, I love you. What have you been doing? She's just like, hey. Hey, Sam. Yeah, like one of those type of things. But what's funny about her is that she'd gotten into this thing, at least for quite a while. She's not been doing it as much lately. But she liked to tell me dad jokes when she would see me. It wasn't, I love you, I miss you, Dad, I can't believe that you're finally home, I'm so excited to spend time with you, Dad. It would always be this. It would be, Dad. I'd be like, uh-huh. How does a polar bear eat a sandwich? I'm like, I just got out of the airport, man. Like, I was hoping for a hug. I wasn't expecting these type of questions. And so, of course, my answer is, I don't have a clue. And then she would say something that sounds like, with its bare hands. And then she'd run away, and then I wouldn't see her for like a week. That's the story of kids her age, right? I mean, that's just how that goes. But I felt like it was an appropriate share, as today we're going to be talking about humor a bit in what we do. And I had a great episode with my buddy Steve Harvey a while back. I'm looking forward to getting Steve over on the podcast real soon to dive even deeper into creativity and humor and what that means for us as professionals. Because in a lot of our worlds, it's been viewed as very sterile and very anti-humor, very dry, very beige. And I don't think that's good. I don't think that helps us in what we're trying to do. And we'll unpack a little bit of that, I think, today. But before we get there, I want to have Steve back on so we can dive even deeper into those things. But before we get into today's episode, I haven't had enough cold brew, y'all. It's early. It's like 5 a.m. There we go. Now I'm amped up, ready to go. Before we get there, do me a favor, head over to the website, www.thehopnerd.com. If you need a hand on your hop journey, if you're looking for that next keynote speaker, if you want to do those workshops around human and organizational performance fundamentals, hop and learning teams, operational learning, if you're looking for a learning team facilitator, I would love to be that person to help you. Send me an email, thehopnerd@gmail.com, or learn more about what I do at thehopnerd.com. You can even click book a consult and throw some time on my calendar. We can chat about how I can help you or see if we can work together. Yeah, we could do some really cool things. I'm putting a positive dent in your work world. With all that out of the way, let's just jump into today's episode. As unfortunate as this is, when we start talking about humor, it's a bit of a dangerous territory. It is. It's a bit of a dangerous territory. When we start talking about humor at work, generally speaking, it's a bit of a dangerous territory. When we start talking about humor in safety, it's in especially dangerous territory. I've been pumping out a bunch of these funny videos, as you probably know, and they're things that have been kicking around in my head for a long time. And I found that humor has been about the easiest way to tell that story of how absurd some of the things that we have done in the name of how harmful some of the things are, to take them to their most extreme. And I tend to do that with a lot of what I make, not to get too inside baseball on you here, but a lot of what I'm trying to do, and I'm not a pro at it or anything, so don't take this as like the artist is speaking. That is not it. I'm constantly trying to figure this out and failing miserably at it, but I'm always trying to take things to its most extreme played out version, right? So extreme, that's funny. It's funny, like, because we don't ever want to have that conversation of like what this really means if we take this all the way to what we mean that it means type of thing. But then to simultaneously try to reduce it to its essence, which is wacky and hippie sounding, but it's not. It's like, how do I get the message across with the least amount of words possible, which is really, really hard for me because I like using a lot of words. And then how do I also take that to its most extreme form to highlight how absurd this is, but we all get to chuckle all the way there and then chuckle afterwards. But then it leaves us reflecting on how wild and harmful and crazy and terrible a lot of that stuff is. Yeah. Comedy, humor, right? But it's especially hard to do that in safety because as I've made a lot of these videos, I get a lot of messages, probably way more than what you'd expect, because most of you listening are probably going, yes. Yeah, a lot of you listening are the ones that are sharing these things. A lot of you listening are the ones that are going, hey, good. But I get a lot of these messages that don't quite see it that way because poking fun of safety is dangerous. Messages that sound like, how dare you? Workplace safety is far too serious to joke about this. It's far too serious. And on. I operate under a pretty simple rule here, and it's this, that anything that is too sacred to be poked at, to be laughed at, it's probably bullshit. Yeah, I mean, generally speaking, if you can't laugh about something, if it's so sacred you can't laugh about it, it's dangerous. It's dangerous. When I hear that conversation, we can't laugh about safety. We can't laugh about the power structure in safety. We can't laugh about the parent-child relationships that we've built in safety. We can't laugh about or poke fun of how organizations treat people to highlight how absurd it is in many ways and give us a good chuckle on the way there. That's dangerous. You can't poke fun of power. The the power structure can only give you permission to slightly make fun of it as long as it approves the things that you say of it. Dangerous. Absolutely dangerous. But I think, and just me, I think there's room for a lot of humor in safety. And again, this makes some people like break out in hives. But I'm here to tell you that there's plenty to laugh at because there's plenty to highlight that needs to be changed. I mean, we know the ridiculousness of some of the stuff that we're talking about. I mean, I've been pumping out videos talking about Depends, adult diapers for executives, so when they pee themselves when they get a safety report. Yeah, it sounds absurd because it is absurd, but it really highlights the fact that certain people tend to melt down. And when you're in a higher level authority in an organization, that meltdown is going to be extremely harmful to your organization. It's going to be extremely harmful to those that are bringing the information, but extremely harmful overall to people being able to tell you the truth in the future. And I can go on and on and on and on and on here about the importance of humor, but that's not my point of this episode. I could go on and on and on and on about how being funny and highlighting to the extreme the ridiculous stuff that we do in the name of safety and beyond helps us change the ridiculous things that we do in the name of safety and beyond. But that's not really what I want to talk about. What I really want to talk about today is how humor can help your change efforts, how humor can help you drive change within your organization. Now, one thing that I want to say here is that humor can be a great Trojan horse. It's a great way to start to break into some of those subjects that have been off limits in the past. Those things where it's like, thou shalt not speak of those things. And I mentioned this in all kinds of stuff that I've written in all kinds of episodes where I talk about in my organization, the last organization where I really, 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 really drove this change as like the face of this change in that organization. We couldn't talk about certain things because it would get you labeled. And it might even get you fired as that person doesn't care about safety because they don't believe in zero. How could they? Sacrilegious. Exactly. The things you can't make fun of become sacrilegious. Yeah, it's propping up safety as a religion. It's propping up our organization as a religion. Safety as a priesthood. And like it's wild. That's pretty wild if you pause and think about that for a second. But we were having all these super secret squirrel conversations because we couldn't say these things openly. But then we discovered somewhere along the way that you could actually like joke and poke fun and start to poke holes in some of these things. If you could kind of have that crutch to fall back on and go, just kidding, I'm just joking. Yeah, it's a bit of a Trojan horse, a safe one at that, meaning that as long as you don't take it too far, it's a great way, especially if you're in one of those kind of precarious situations like we found ourselves in. It's a great way to start to have some of those conversations. It's an excellent way to start to have some of those conversations. To unpack that unpack that a bit farther as I continue to chug my cold brew. It's early, y'all. I'm sorry. Crunching on ice, ruining your ear holes, all that stuff. I'm sorry. I'm up early because I got to get out here and get to the airport here in just a little bit. But to take that a bit farther into this conversation, is humor is disarming. It's disarming in the sense that if I just walk up to you and go, you know what, zero's stupid. Zero is stupid. And here's why it's stupid. And it can be the best argument in the world. And it probably is because it's easy to argue that zero's stupid. Like, it's really easy. Me and you can sit here and argue that zero's stupid, not run out of material for about 3 months about how stupid zero is and the harm that it causes. Yeah, we can do that really easy. But that immediately puts someone, especially that person that I'm probably trying to get them to change their mind a bit, or at least try to plant the seeds to get them thinking about how ridiculous some of this is, it immediately puts them back on that on their foot and defensive and going, well, you're stupid. Of course it does. Of course it does. Because that's not how you approach people. But when I'm in that executive meeting and I'm cracking jokes, you know, and I'm being personable and I'm maybe putting even a little bit of a blade towards zero, but it's comical. It's very disarming. I just shared a video a while back called The Zeros about the Zero Awards, where Daryl the safety man receives an award where he's a zero because he got the organization to zero 5 years without anything as really as much as a real safety report at least a real incident report. And he got a nice little trophy that said, "Your did it." And he got a certificate that said, "You're a zero." And he got two free ice cream cones for dramatically lowering TRI through innovative and creative approaches to case management. And then it cuts to a flashback of him, like, talking about, like, yeah, you know what? Work-related? Well, it could have happened at home. Could is good enough for me. It happened at home. What happened? You cut your hand? Well, guess what? I'm going to retroactively fire you, because if you'd have been following the rules, you wouldn't have cut your hand in the first place. And since I retroactively fired you, that means that you cut your hand after I fired you, meaning you weren't on company time, meaning that this isn't going on our books. And it cuts to an employee with a chunk of wood sticking out of their chest, and basically they've been told, just rice it, a Band-Aid, and we'll return you to work. And the employee's going, spurting blood, going, "What do you mean? I think I need a doctor." Yeah, that's far more disarming than zero sucks. Of course it is. And the thing about humor to me is that it opens up dialogue. It's disarming and it opens up further dialogue. Instead of shutting it down, it welcomes it, because we've lowered the bar a bit. We're not being all super serious. I'm not just like, zero's bad, and if you believe in zero, you're an idiot. And of course, I'm going to like start swinging. Of course I am. Who wouldn't? I'm going to start swinging, and I don't even like zero. Yeah, just because that's called being an asshole. Yeah, of course I'm going to start throwing punches. But when we're laughing and we're joking and we're being people, and humor is as people-y as it gets, it goes a long way. Maybe to not ending that conversation. To maybe not to like owning somebody, maybe not to like shutting it down. But it starts it. It grows dialogue and it plants seeds, because for as many of those videos, like I was sharing with you at the beginning, where I get those messages like, "You are defaming the safety profession. You are making it look ridiculous." As much as I just want to be like, "Hey, look, the profession does that on its own. I'm just highlighting it. I don't. It's light work, y'all. I don't have to do anything. You guys are doing this all on your own." As much as I want to do that, if I just leave it and let people sit with that, where 99% of the people just laugh at it and they're like, "Yeah, it's true," and you get those few that are like, "Oh God, sacrilegious." Almost all those people that are going sacrilegious, after they think on that for a while and they start to chuckle a little bit, they start to change their mind. There's a reason why in society, I mean, humor has been used over and over and over and over and over and over and over to highlight tragedy, to highlight ridiculousness, to highlight dehumanizing, inhumane approaches to anything. Of course, humor will work for us doing that in safety. Humor will work for us driving that change within our organizations. Of course it will. Humor helps us highlight dogma. It helps us highlight these practices that have become so entrenched that we don't even question them anymore, because they become almost religious doctrine within our organization. That's where humor comes in. It's the wrecking ball. It's the thing that demolishes the walls of status quo. It's the thing that helps us begin to, if not break down, put fractures in things that we know are ridiculous, ridiculousness, absurd, and allows us to start to put something better back in its place. Humor drives us towards deep reflection. If you get me laughing, you got me. If you get me smiling, you got me. It's not that I'm just cracking up. It's that you've got me. And what I mean by you've got me is you've touched me. And what I mean by that is that you've struck a chord, that your message, it's took. It's taken. I've got it. I've downloaded your message. I've related to it. It's not that you just made me giggle. If you've made me giggle, you've made me think. That's huge, y'all. And I want to encourage you to think about how you use this kind of tongue-in-cheek humor within your organization. It humanizes our approaches. It humanizes our messages. It helps us plant the seeds of change. It helps us break down the old so the new can grow. At least the old that deserves the wrecking ball. It helps us challenge. It helps us create meaningful change within our organizations. I think on a couple situations where, I'll give you an example, a couple of examples where I used some of this tongue-in-cheek humor early on in our hop journey. I told you about the super-duper secret squirrel conversations. We told that story loud and proud to our executive teams, to everyone that would listen in our organization in a humorous way. That's like, hey, Bob, I remember, Jane, I remember, you know, back when we first started having these conversations, we'd lock the door because we knew if you come to site and you walked in on this conversation, you'd fire us. And they'd be like, yeah, you're right, I would, but I was dumb. Like, it was funny. It was as tragic as it was. If you think about that story at the beginning, as tragic as that was, as tragic sounding as it was, and it was pretty ridiculous that we couldn't openly discuss these kind of topics in our organization without being shamed and probably fired or at the very least demoted. To be able to chuckle at it now because of the change helps us to make sure that that doesn't happen again, because we highlighted how ridiculous that was. And because it's funny, those leaders that would have been the ones firing me are laughing at it because of how ridiculous they were, how misguided they were. It's funny now. We're highlighting it now through humor, as tragic as it was then. But keeping that story alive and in a humorous fashion lets us laugh at it and go, we're never going to do that again. We keep that alive, that conversation alive. As we kind of grew out of those conversations and into a bit of a pseudo-formalized approach, we pulled together a bunch of information into a book. And by book, I mean we hand put together a whole bunch of binders to begin with because we didn't have any budget. And eventually we printed them. I've got one of those binders laying around here somewhere. I've got to dig it up. I kept some of this stuff. It's just like a little treasure trove of change that I'm super proud of some of this stuff, all of that stuff. And we purposely, this book, like you had to ask for it. It wasn't sent out to all employees. It was all word of mouth. Everything that we were doing at that time, we labeled as our guerrilla movement, underground. It was all underground. So when we pulled together these binders, we pieced it together in the cover and everything in that book, we set it up as a manifesto. Yeah, as tongue-in-cheek as that sounds, and as scary as that sounds in an organization, that was the point. It was hilarious, right? Because it was all underground. You had to know somebody that knew somebody that knew somebody that could get you a copy of that book, which was kind of cool. It created demand for it, which is probably another story. You get like the whispers like, hey, you got one of them books? I heard you're the book guy. You got one of them books? That's pretty neat with change when you're not having to force it down people's throat. That's helpful. But some of the allure to that book, first, it was chock full of all kinds of great information and tools and resources and snippets from all kinds of different stuff related to hop and safety differently and all those different things. You know, kind of the stockpile of stuff that I'm talking about. But it was also a manifesto. And on the front of it, cut out in like, you know, like serial killer letters, you know, where you cut stuff out of magazines and like different letters on it. It was the Guerrilla Hop Manifesto. The Underground Guerrilla Hop Manifesto. It was something like that. I have to dig up a copy and share it. But it was that. And it was hilarious. It wasn't corporate-y and it wasn't printed. It was real. And it was kind of funny. And people get to be like, because at that time in our organization, there was still a bit of a feeling that's like, this isn't actually going to happen. We really want this. Our leaders really want this. Our frontline employees really want this. Everyone, it seems like, in our organization wants this. But you get to a certain level of like senior director and up, and they don't really want this. They want to go back to the... That's not true. But we capitalized on that humor, on that belief, even though that belief wasn't real, to then laugh about it and break down that belief. That was funny. That's just a couple examples of how you can use humor in this in your organization and driving this change and humanizing your approaches. The your did it thing that I shared with you about Daryl, that wasn't just birthed in my garage. That's where I shoot these videos, by the way, most of the time. As with any of these videos, they were most of them have seeds of real life, like real life experiences that I have experienced, things that I have seen, been a part of, been involved with. Not all the way, but there are seeds in every single one of those videos of things that I have lived through. That's why they're relatable, because I've lived through them. And if I lived through them, you probably lived through them too. But that your did it trophy did not come from me in my garage just on Amazon going, how, what would be a funny trophy for Daryl to use? The your did it idea came from our original hop courses, workshop things that we did internal in our organization. Again, guerrilla effort, word of mouth. You had to volunteer for it. We weren't forcing you. And these things were packed, packed full, did multiple of these, in multiple days. Yeah, multiple days of talking hop and conversation and learning teams and then talking more hop and then plan and change and like packed. But what we did, because the organization demanded that if we were going to do this, we had to give people a certificate. We had to. We had to. It's part of the procedure. You must give someone a certificate. You must log their attendance. And so we did. And the certificate that we came up with had that, like, if you've never seen the Your Did It star, you Google it, Your Did It. You are did it. It's this wonky drawn like star, like with crayon. Yeah. And it's inside of it. It's like all wonky, misshapen, yellow, gold star. And in the middle, it says, you're did it. You are, you're did it. And so we made certificates with the company logo and a you're did it star. And we signed them in crayon. Yeah. And everyone loved it because it was freaking hilarious. And it only grew interest. It only grew interest. No one looked at that and went, oh, shame. Such bad taste. Like people do on the internet. In real life, people don't do that. Normal people don't do that. In real life, people go, that's freaking hilarious. I want to go to that class where I get the Your Did It certificate. Because when you walk into a corporate and you see all the cubicles with the Your Did It certificate signed in crayon, hang on everybody's cubicle walls because it's freaking hilarious. Yeah, that's the point. It's humanizing our approaches. It's really being people. We're just cutting the crap. Sorry, HR friends. But we're cutting the PCHR crap. And we're just being people. And we're giggling. And we're laughing. And of course. Like, I don't know that why we have to keep saying this. I think it's the one person sneezes, everybody gets a Kleenex effect. But of course, some people are going to take that too far. But that's rare. That's most of us know how to behave at work. If you're like me, you want to push those boundaries just a little bit. Because I think pushing on boundaries is healthy. I think that's good. But most of us know where the line is at. So we're just being people. We're being humans. That humor is allowing us to embrace our humanity, to chuckle at the things that make us mad, to chuckle at the things that make us sad, to chuckle at the things that are wrong. And by being able to chuckle at them, we're being able to have a conversation about them. By being humorous and a little tongue-in-cheek. And sometimes, and even what some people say, in poor taste, pinky out. It's drawing people in. It's drawing people in. So screw you. It's getting people into the conversation that wouldn't be a part of the conversation because of your dryness. Nobody wants to show up for your crusty bagels and listen to you drawing on and on and on and on off a PowerPoint slide. They want to show up for the Your Did It certificate. That's what they want to show up for. And once you get them in the door, and they're like, holy crap, this does even better than I thought. Yeah. That's the point. I'm sorry for the rambly mess, but it's a subject that has excited me for a really, 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 really long time. If you look through anybody, really anybody, that has driven successful change, either internal to an organization or on a grand stage, and I'm not going to name names. We all know some of the names. They're funny. And they're relatable. And yeah, of course they get serious. But they bring it back to funny, and they bring it to light, and they bring it over here where it's relatable, and then they get a little serious, and then it's funny, and then there's a Your Did It certificate, and then there's a video of an executive wearing Depends. And on and on and on and on. Where I'm really going with this episode, I'm trying to keep this one a little shorter because I've been rambling on and on and on and on and on and on and on, is this. Humor is your friend in driving change. And there's no one right way to do it. There's no, I got to be funny. I'm not telling you that. I'm just telling you, embrace it. Embrace the chuckle. You know, because we think like humor is always like this loud, audacious, just comedian kind of humor. It's not. I think back to some of my peers that I'm just going to put them into a box. And I know that's not fair, but I'm going to call them dry. They're dry. And they were some of the funniest people I ever met. And you just knew, like you get them up there and then they're very dry, monotone way. They're going to bring down the house. People aren't laughing at them. They're laughing at their jokes because they got jokes too. You got your own brand of unique humor, your own brand of unique creativity, whatever that looks like, whether that's making videos that help you drive change, whether that's a your did it certificate, or whether that's having that funny sparring joke session with your executive team. It's opening up doors. It's opening up doors to dialogue, deeper, more meaningful dialogue. It's planting seeds. It's allowing us to talk about subjects that in a very serious manner we have not been allowed to talk about. So next time you see something absurd at work, don't just roll your eyes. Don't get all super serious. Find the humor in it. Use it. Start a conversation with it. The ridiculous stuff. You're like, we're doing so many forms that I don't think we got time to do any work. And you say, I got to take 14 forms just to go take a pee-pee. Like, have the conversation and keep it light and funny, and it will drive, help you. It will help you drive change in your organization. So what's your did it certificate? What's your Gorilla Hop manifesto? What's your the zero award videos? I don't know. That's for you to figure out. I'm just here to tell you that meaningful change, doing that and doing that well, humor is a part of that. Laughing is a part of that because it's the most human thing that we can do. It's the easiest way to get people to latch on, to relate, because if you can get them laughing, your message is going through. If you can get them chuckling, you've touched them. They've related to what you're saying. So what I'm really telling you is don't shy away from it. Don't be scared of it. I'm not telling you got to go take a comedy class. I'm not telling you that you got to start making funny videos. I'm not telling you that you got to change anything. That's whatever you want to do, y'all. That's up to you. But I am telling you, it's your best friend if you're out there trying to put a positive dent in things. It's your best friend if you're looking to create meaningful dialogue. It's your best friend if you're looking to just plant the seeds and get people thinking about things a bit differently. Thanks for listening, everybody. We greatly appreciate all of your support of the Hot Nerd Podcast and the Hot Nerd LLC. If you need a little bit of help of bringing human and organizational performance to life, if you would like to take your efforts around learning and improving to the next level, yep, I can help with that. Head over to www.thehotnerd.com or send me an email, thehotnerd@gmail.com. Until next time, bye, everybody. Bye.